So this book of Hebrews, wow, it just doesn't stop giving. I keep thinking like we're at the conclusion here, and God shows something else. This has truly been the most remarkable journey I've ever had through Scripture, bar none. Even when I was in school, when I got to the book of Hebrews, I knew it was something special. Whenever I would study it, whenever I would read it, it was just so deep. And I really couldn't get to the depth of it. This time, God is revealing more than ever. God is revealing things that are literally changing me, and I hope it's changing you. This concept has been a long time coming for me. This struggle with whether or not you could be holy enough has finally reached its conclusion. Its right conclusion. I swear, I want to write a book about this. This is so profound. When my friend Glenn sent me that, I said to him, Glenn, this is the best you've ever done, dude. I mean, this is just like a wow. You're the seed in the ground, and God showed you something here. And not only did He show you, He showed you who you are, and that He's bringing out this potential in you that's already there. And that's what I'm talking about with holiness. It's already there. I want us to know. I can't explain it enough. I can't emphasize it enough. I can't show it enough. I don't know about you, but have you ever, like, you've struggled with something and you finally come to a revelation and you're trying to figure it out, and then you wonder, like, well, is it just me? Has everybody else got this all figured out? Have you ever done that in life where you think, well, everyone else knows this, you know, everyone else can do this, and then you come to find out, like, oh, well, they didn't know either. That's what's going on with this one. And I know, because I've talked to so many, and I mean so many people, over the course of the last 20-odd years about this subject. And I've gotten such bad information. For one thing, I've been told over and over and over again by people that they do not sin, and they are delusional. That's not true. However, what is true is they are sinless. Now you have to struggle with that. You got to figure out, like, well, how can you be sinless but you still sin? And the key here is that Jesus made you this way. It's like that seed that goes in the ground that Glenn's talking about. The potential is already there. But this is even beyond just potential. This is already a done deal. And so today, we're even going to go deeper, if that's possible. And where we're going to go today is to, because you are holy, you can see holy. Because you are of God, you can see God. You are in this, like, dimension. You are, like, in this other place. It's a very special place. Not everybody's in there. It's almost like this bubble of reality that's encasing all of reality, but not everybody's inside the bubble. I'm struggling with words to even comprehend how this really looks. It's a dimensional kind of thing. It's like in this room right now, what do you see? One thing everybody talks about is that dinosaur on the wall, which is going to be gone, by the way, very shortly. But you can't miss the dinosaur, right?
It's like elephant.
Clifford's gone, too.
The what?
Clifford picture is gone.
The Clifford picture is already gone. But what else is in this room?
Jesus.
Church. Is in this room. Where is he? It's like where's Waldo? You ever see that thing? It was yeah. Where's Waldo? I remember back in when I go to the dentist and you have those Highland books and you gotta find the tigers and all the other stuff that's in the trees and all of that. That's kind of like where's Waldo, same kind of concept. But in this room, let's play where's Waldo for a minute. Where is Jesus? Right there, your neighbor, right in that seat next to you, right in this hole. We sing about the Holy Spirit in the atmosphere everywhere. But most importantly today, I want to talk about what Amy did in here. That close. So if Jesus, come on now, if God, come on now, if the Holy Spirit, come on now, is here, what does that mean for Tom, who's struggling? And I've talked to a lot of people, and they're all struggling to be holy.
It's already done.
It's already done. Not by anything I do. So it's not about if I'm not sinning or sinning. It's about I'm already sinless. And now, here's the thing. All I have to do is act like it. Okay, well, that's not so easy. We've got tempers. We've got situations. We've got impatience. We got the Holy Spirit, we got all the fruit of the Spirit that counteracts all of that, but we won't get into all of that because we'll be here all day. But we can read about that. I am perfect.
Well, she knows it.
I am holy. I am sinless. I'm telling you, man, this has been 25 odd years of a walk to figure this out. And I know all the verses here, new creation and made holy. And I know all the verses. I can recite all of them, or most of them. Old Testament, New Testament. But none of them clicked. It's clicking. But now today, since we know this, we can see something else. Let's get into Scripture. We only got 3 verses. Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace. Can you imagine? If this world would just make every effort to live in peace, I mean, the news industry would not be out of business because there wouldn't be any news to report, anything that's going to get all the ratings, and there wouldn't be all these conflicts, and people wouldn't be making all this money off of everything. We won't get into all that, but what we're called to do, this is what we're called to do, is make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, I've been thinking about this all week. What in the world does that mean? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Why? Why can't anyone that is that holy see the Lord? And is that true? I mean, Scripture's true. Scripture's always true. We can't always figure out why it's true, but it's always true. So we got to start there. It's true that anybody who's not holy cannot see the Lord. Now, wait a minute. That causes some problems here, because now, what do I do with all these people who don't have the Lord and don't know the Lord and aren't holy and they can't see the Lord? How do we help somebody who's blind? So one of the reasons they can't see the Lord is because they are blind. I think of this blinding light. Have you ever been like sometimes as a pastor, I get to go on stage. I get to go kicking and screaming on stage, let me tell you. So I've done that, and I've gone on stage. I think it was at a youth convention one time, and I was on stage in front of like 1,000 youth, and I was like, God told me to get up there, and I'm like, I don't want to get up there. And so I went all the way from the back of the auditorium, walked all the way up there. That was a long walk, let me tell you. Not just physically, but that was a long walk. Like, okay, I can turn around. I don't want to do this. And but I was compelled, I was told to. But I get up on that stage, and these lights are just blinding me. I've done this at other churches, too. I can't see anybody out there. All you see is that, like, I can imagine all those stage performers, man. They can't see anything. They're blinded. They can't see the audience because it's blinding light that's coming at them. So it's kind of like we're blinded. Sometimes we're blinded by distractions. We're blinded by all the things of this world. We're blinded by many, many things. And so we don't see. That's one reason that people who don't know the Lord can't see the Lord. Another reason is they're not aware. They haven't been awakened. They don't have an awareness. They're not looking. They're not looking for the Lord. If you seek me, you will find me. So they're not looking. So look, all these people out in this world are blind and not seeking and not knowing the Lord. That's a problem. That's a problem. And God has a solution for that. And then there's this new dimension thing. That in order to see the dimension, you got to be in the dimension. In order to see holy, you got to be holy. Why would that be? Doesn't Jesus talk about that? That you have to be holy, and then you can see that the word is like foolishness to people who don't understand it. All these different clues we get in Scripture talk about that. When we become one with the Lord, we walk into this new place, this new dimension. I always talk about, like, when you pray, you walk into another dimension. When you take communion, you're walking into another whole place, man. I mean, it's a whole different world, whole different universe, a whole different dimension, a whole different level of spirituality. When we read the Word, when we go and take communion, when we pray, all these things take us and we get transported. I don't want to get too H.G. Wells on you, but, you know, or asthma, or any of those guys. But it's, you know, a lot of times they're way ahead of the curve. They're talking about flying to the moon like years and decades before we actually do it, and then we go and do it. And it's like dictated by their sci-fi book, you know. So I'm telling you that all of this is a reality, that we simply don't see always. And even once we're there, we don't always get to see all the reality. That's why God is constantly giving us revelation. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Now, wait a minute. Didn't I just get done saying we're already holy? So how do I struggle with Scripture. Make every effort means pursue, means go after, make every effort, go do it and work at it to live in peace. Man, we got to do that to get peaceful with everybody, right? But it also is make every effort to be holy. But I just got to say we're already holy. So why do I have to make every effort to be holy if I'm already holy?
We don't act like holy.
We don't act like it. Remember what I said? You have to act like what you already are. So we have to pursue to act like what we are. But the beauty of this thing, and this is where the real revelation comes in, it's so much easier to act like what you already are than try to become something you're not. And God knows that. So God made us holy, and now we have to act like we're holy so we can see holy. Are you starting to get the picture of where we're headed here? Next verse. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitterness. Bitterness. It will take you down so fast, it's not even funny. It not only will take down an individual, it'll take down a whole group. It'll take down a whole nation. It'll take down an army. It'll take down everything. And it starts with just a tiny little thought. A tiny little emotion. A tiny little offense. A tiny little beginning. And then it will grow and grow. And then it will engulf and consume you. And what are some of the things that we could talk about that we get bitter about? I would think like a betrayal of a friend. Man, that will take down a friendship faster, your head, make your head spin. I think of like something when we feel offended. We always say, you offended me. And we don't bring it to resolution. We don't talk about, we don't have any reconciliation. And it grows and grows and grows. I mean, there's families, man, they don't even talk to anybody. There's a political environment that has been going on that people can't talk at Thanksgiving about political matters because it separates families right now. There is all kinds of things going on that are causing divisions among all the people that the enemy is having a field day because he's bringing bitterness and he's defiling us.
It can cause cancer.
It can cause you to get sick too.
Yes.
So defile means to what? I think defile means to start messing with that chink in the armor, man. It defiles you, it lowers you, it takes you down, you know, and it might only be in your own head that you're being taken down. It may not even be in reality, because remember, God is still seeing you as holy, regardless of what you do. Praise be to God, He's that merciful. Look what it says about the mercy thing. Let's not miss it. See to that no one falls short of the grace of God. In other words, that grace is already given to you, but let's not fall short of seeing it. So there we go with the see thing again. Continuing. See that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as his oldest son. Now, isn't that kind of weird? Like, all of a sudden we're talking about Esau and it's like, well, what's that got to do with anything? Like, why is he in here? And I mean, I can get the sexually immoral thing, because that'll take us down pretty fast, too. The enemy uses that all the time. I mean, our society is engulfed in this one. I mean, the enemy is using that to take us down faster than anything. And especially in the pulpit, man, that's the first thing that takes down the minister. It is something immoral that they made a slip up, you know, and there's a target on their back because, you know, the enemy wants to shut this thing down fast and hard. So we understand that piece of it. But well, what is it that is godless about Esau that, you know, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. I think what it's talking about here is he did a trade. He traded off. He had the birthright. And in Jewish times, the birthright is everything, man. That means you get the whole enchilada. You get all the inheritance. You get everything. You're the firstborn, so everything rightfully goes to you. And he gave it up for some stew. Now, that's always been a weird one, right? Like, you gave up your birthright for stew, dude. Like, what are you thinking? But, you know, he didn't value it. He didn't think it was all that. And we could do that with God, right?
Yeah.
We could sell out. We could sell out just like he sold out his birthright. We could sell out. You know, I hear about young people are sold out for Jesus. I love that. I love that young people can be sold out for Jesus. And we got a new revolution that's going on with our young people these days. And they're sold out again. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
But we have a whole world out there that is ready to sell out Jesus for a Mercedes-Benz or for a career or for some other thing, that another piece of bauble that looks so nice and shiny and gold and diamonds and all the other stuff and fame. And we sell out Jesus for all these things, do we not? Even for our own self-esteem or our self-worth, which, mind you, remember, we are holy. So you already have as much self-esteem and self-worth that you can deal with. You have an overabundance of it. But we're blind sometimes to that, and so we sell it out. What's this got to do with what's going on in the book of Hebrews? It has everything to do with it. These people are struggling. They're financially strapped because they believe in the Lord, and everybody's coming against them and not letting them work anymore. It's got everything to do with them. They're being persecuted. They're actually being mistreated because of their faith. They're being kicked out of the synagogue, which the synagogue is the Jewish synagogue, and you can't function in their society anymore. They're being looked out down upon as all the others are with all these idols and stuff, and they don't like them either. So they're kind of stuck right between a rock and a hard place, and they're getting it from all sides. You ever get it from all sides? I was a middle manager. I was getting it from all sides. I understand that one well. Continuing. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. You ever want to change something you did? You ever look back and say, wow, I would have only done this or that. Or if I would have only got this break or that break. If I hadn't said this to that person, if I hadn't gotten mad and angry and destroyed that, if I hadn't gotten rid of my wife or my husband, if I just would have had that better relationship with my child, if I could have met somebody, if is paved with regret. How does it make you feel? We start contemplating that kind of stuff. You know, as we get older, we start looking back. We look back at our lives. And then we compare against other people's lives. Anybody? Can I get an amen? We have this social media out there that is just primed for it, that would just let you compare yourself to death. And I mean to death. The death of yourself by the time they're done with you. And most of the time, it's not even real. It's not even truth. But, you know, we can look back. And so Esau is looking back. And after he sold off his birthrights, I mentioned that was only step one. And the second one was when his brother deceived his father to get the actual birthright. So he's got to be really, really mad at his brother right now. Because not only did he trick him and manipulate him out of it for some stew, but he also was tricked the father into thinking he was Esau by putting on like a hairy thing, and so his father is half blind and gives him the blessing. Imagine how he felt about his brother after he was betrayed. Now, can we talk about bitterness now? Your entire birthright and everything, the entire kingdom has been stolen from you. First you gave it up, then it was stolen. Talk about regret. So what do we do with all this? I mean, and what does this got to do with being holy and trading away? You know, and these unholy people can't see the Lord. How does this all fit together? Be holy. See holy. If Esau would have seen what he was giving up, he wouldn't have given it up. He wouldn't have had any regrets. He wouldn't have to worry about his brother tricking him. But see, the thing is I think Esau is in his heart, he knows. He knows it wasn't his brother's fault. It was his fault. He didn't value it. And so we have to start there. We have to value God. We have to value Jesus. We have to value the Holy Spirit. We have to value, we just went over this in the men's group, more than our family, more than our wife or husband, more than our children. I had that one that really is a stickler for parents, let me tell you. More than my very life. More, for me this is what's harder than life. My health. More than my health. More than my lack of pain or discomfort. You know, we have to value God more than anything. And when we do that, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are not going to get into all that yet today, we are made, transformed, changed, become holy. And once we're holy, we can see differently. We can see differently when somebody betrays us. We can forgive the unforgivable. We can talk to a person when we're an introvert and don't want to talk to nobody. We can do things that we did not think we were capable of. We are empowered to do the impossible. We can pray for 100% healing, 100% restoration in situations that are like, you got to be kidding me. And we can watch it come to fruition over and over and over again. Because we see differently. Because we are, we can see. So where Hebrews is taking us is these guys are all, man, they've got it coming against them much, much more than us. More than we can imagine. Like, imagine, you can't work. You can't make money because you believe in Jesus. Okay, for a day or two. Weeks get kind of tough. A month. I'm getting kind of hungry. I got no shelter. A year. 2 years. 10 years. I don't know what the time span is here. But we're not done yet. Let's say you're just ostracized from all of the community. Nobody wants to talk to you. You're just like, you know, the outcast.
You're on Patmos.
Well, you're not. Yeah, right? I mean, you're outcast from everywhere you go. Well, we're not done. They're physically torturing you and mistreating you, and you're physically getting hurt. No money, no job, no prospects, no social, nobody likes you, and you're getting hurt and tortured. But all you got to do is give up Jesus and come on back to the Jewish faith, and we're all be good. So they're up against it. And in this entire book, that's why Hebrews is so powerful, because that's what's going on in Hebrews. That they are being really persecuted at this level, and they're really thinking about, well, what is this worth it? And so the author of Hebrews is saying, it is worth it. Because it's that greater to lesser thing. What I have for you is so much greater than this lesser of everything I just got done talking about. And once you have that, what the author of Hebrews is saying is once you have that, once you've been made holy, don't give it up. Because you can't, like Esau, you can give it up. You can give it up. You can tell Jesus, kick him to the curb. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because as you are holy, you see holy, and you walk in this other dimension. So what do we do with this? Well, first, we got to get there. I always talk about job one, job two. So job one is getting there, and job two is getting somebody else there. So job one is we got to get there. In other words, we have to have Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I imagine most, if not everyone in this room, Jesus is Lord and Savior. And if that's the case, I want you just to say to yourself, you got to shout it out now unless you want to. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is Lord and Savior of my life.
Amen.
I am one of the chosen now. I chose to be chosen. Job two. Job two. Because you're holy. Because you see. Because you're in this other dimension. You can help pull somebody else in. You can help them see. You can take the blinders off for them. You can plant a little seed. You can have a little word. You know, Rose had to step out, but I love how she puts a zillion things on Facebook. And they're just little planted ideas, scriptures. Yeah. People she may never meet. We'll see. And it will just click. Just a little tiny mustard seed. Be holy. See holy. Share holy. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that we can see. We thank you, Lord, every time we can see our vision, our miraculous vision that can see color, that can see shapes, that can make out shapes, that can even see in the dark, that we can see the stars in the sky. That our pupils get bigger and smaller compared to whatever the light is. This miraculous thing you've given us, the vision, how it works in our minds, and we make pictures in our head, and we can make out shapes, and we can remember this miraculous mechanism. And Lord, we ask that we can see more, that we can see what's not visual, that we can see the spiritual, that we can see you. You promised if you seek me, you will find me. So we seek you, Lord. And now that we have found you, now that we are with you, and that we see you, help us to help somebody else see you today, this week. Help us to have a conversation this week. Help us to plant a seed this week. Help us to think of a person in our mind right now that needs to know you. And help us make a plan have a conversation, maybe a little word conversation. Jesus. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We often just sing a chorus at the end, but we're going to sing the entire song of Mighty Name of Jesus, and Pastor John will do the PowerPoint. And let's stand, because when we close with a song, we're actually responding in our spirits to the message that the Lord gave us. We're all about being holy, seeing holy, and living in our holiness with Jesus Christ inside of us. Thank you.
into the atmosphere. Because I see. Spirit of God, you're here. I see. You have all authority. I see that. We are privileged. We get to see beyond the physical. We get to see beyond the possible. We get to see beyond the physical. We get to see God. We get to see Jesus. We get to see in this atmosphere the Holy Spirit. And not just here in this room today, we get to see it every moment of every day. We are privileged. Let us go and share that privilege. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being created by you, Lord Jesus. You created us through your Father. Your Father through you. We thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you are around us and in us and through us and all in this atmosphere. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We ask that we could share that presence with someone else this week. May you give us a name right now. May you give us a heart right now that needs to know you or needs to know you better. And maybe it's even ourselves. May we know you more, Lord, so we can share you more, Lord. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Go and share your holiness. God bless.